heard last week that my notes were in the darkness. So now my notes are in the light. It's going to be good. Nice, we got that going on. There's my phone. How you guys doing? Right on. Right on. Hey, we're going to do a little talk called The Certainty of God tonight. It's going to be sweet. It's going to be really sweet. And to exemplify just kind of my point tonight, how many of you at the very beginning of the semester were certain that for the rest, well, for the 4 weeks after spring break, you were going to have online classes? Can I get a hand? Anybody? There's one. So, in other words, we could have said it was going to be almost completely certain that there's no way that online classes were going to happen, right? It was just going to go business as usual. Everything was going to be fine. There's no way that we could have anticipated this. But guess what? In this life, things happen. Things happen, man, in this life. And it's interesting that Jesus, in John chapter 16, verse 33, he literally is quoted as saying the following: "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world." I think that's amazing. So the Lord himself knew that trouble would come upon us. He knew that plans would get changed. He knew that disappointment would happen. He knew that fear had the opportunity to seize the day. And he gives us the solution, and that solution is himself. And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. So the title, again, is The Certainty of God. So obviously, we know the tension that we face right now. It's called COVID-19, or the coronavirus, right? That's the reason that the university decided to do the things that they're doing. And honestly, there's some real danger for certain members of the population. Maybe us all, we don't know. But certainly for certain members of the population. So what we're dealing with is a real issue. And so the university and, you know, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the NHL, all of these people are trying to just do what they can to limit the spread of this disease. And it's probably the right thing to do for now. So we've got this tension that we deal with. We've got a real situation that we deal with. And I just want to let you guys know, and we're going to get into this more, that this exact situation that we're dealing with right now is exactly the reason that Jesus came and did what he did. This is the reason that he came. It doesn't get any more real than this. This is it. This is why. This is why in this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. So the solution and the focus is listed. The Lord says it in his statement. Take heart, I have overcome the world. And when he says the world, he means the world system and everything that could possibly go wrong in this world. The reason that there is such a thing as disease is because of the fall of mankind, right? Sin brought about all kinds of things that God never wanted to take place on this earth. But Jesus, as we know, he is the solution for mankind's sin problem. He's also the solution for every other problem that we'll ever face while we live on planet Earth. He's the solution. So we're going to continue to talk about that tonight. So we've got this tension that we're facing right now. We've got the news shouting at us. We've got a new school schedule. We've got the unknown. We've got potential consequences of all kinds. We've certainly got disruption, and nobody likes that. But tonight, we're going to talk about the certainty that is God. If there's one thing that God is, it is that he is certain. He's unchanging. He's unfailing. And he's always for us and never against us. So despite the circumstances, despite any circumstance that we're facing now or will face in the future, there's one thing that is certain, and that is that God loves you, and he's got a great plan for your life. Period. Okay? So let's get into this. Tonight we're going to talk about how his word never changes, We're going to talk about how his power never falters. We're going to talk about how his plans never fail. And I just want to pray before we get into the word tonight, okay? Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to share your word. And God, I pray that your word would do the talking tonight. Pray that your Holy Spirit would do the edifying tonight, God. I pray that you would do the preaching tonight, God. Pray that your word would be trusted tonight amongst us. I pray that you would speak, Lord Jesus. We trust you. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to take you to a passage of scripture in Mark chapter 4 tonight. So if you want to turn there on your own, we'll have the scriptures on the screen. If you don't, it's always good to see it in your own Bible, I feel like, if you have one. We're going to look at a little story of an issue that the disciples got themselves into. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41, and then we're going to look at chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. So here it goes. He said to his disciples, this is Jesus, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, he took him along. They took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus, in the stern, was sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind and the waves, and he said, "Quiet, be still." And the wind died down, and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And they were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." And then moving on to chapter 5, it says, they went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. Okay, now let's look at the story. First point of our message is that God's word never changes. I'm going to point back to the story several times tonight, okay? And that'll be on the screen for you. So God's word never changes. I'm going to point you to Mark chapter 4, verse 35. I just read it. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." And in Mark chapter 5, verse 1, the Bible says, they went across to the lake to the region of the Gerasenes, and when Jesus got out of ministry. In other words, it didn't matter what happened in between. The Lord got what he said. He said, "We're going to go over, fellas, to the other side." And guess what happened? They made it to the other side. God's word never changes. Now, in the middle of "we're going to go to the other side" and arriving at the other side, there was a terrible storm. They were super afraid. They thought they were going to die. And Jesus is asleep. We'll get to that in a little bit. I think that's very telling. But the fact of the matter is that God's word never changes. What he says will come to pass, period. You can take it to the bank. If you're looking for certainty in life, there's nothing more certain than God's word. There's nothing more certain than God's word. We're going to go to the other side. Let's go to the other side. I love that. If you read it, you just pass by that. Let us go over to the other side. Okay. That's cool. Everybody says that when they're going to go someplace, but Jesus gets what he says. He never says a word without meaning it. Do you guys get that? We're talking about the Lord. We're not talking about people. We're not talking about your buddy. We're not talking about your mama. We're talking about Jesus. When Jesus says something, he means it, and it happens. We need to remind ourselves this. We're not talking about your buddy. We're not talking about your best friend. We're not talking about the most moral, upright person you've ever met in your life. We're talking about Jesus, the sinless Son of God. We're talking about God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. When he says things, he's not mincing words or wasting time. He means what he says. So we ought to take his word seriously. God's word never, ever changes. It never changes. So in the midst of trying circumstances, we can know for sure, without a doubt, that there's one thing that's never, ever going to change. And that is, if you find something in the Bible, you can take it to the bank that it's going to happen. You can take it to the bank that God means what he says. So that's where I go when I face unforeseen circumstances. God's word never changes. They went across the lake, and Jesus got out of the boat. A couple other scriptures just to emphasize this point are Matthew chapter 24, verse 35, says this. Jesus said this, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." Psalm 119, 89 says this, "Your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens." His word is unshakable. It's unchanging and it's unshakable. If you're looking for something to place your faith in and to rely upon, there's only one thing, and that is God and his word. There's only one thing. And sometimes we get to where the rubber meets the road in our own life and find out what we actually believe. God wants you to know tonight that his word never changes. You can take it to the bank. So Jesus didn't adjust his word based on the storm. If he would have, it might have sounded something like this. "Well, guys, you know the storm's a little rougher than I thought at first. I think we might have to turn back for a while until this passes." No, when Jesus says something, he means it. He means, hey, we're going to the other side. We should take him at his word. So here's a couple other areas that may be relevant for us right now that we need to be encouraged to take him at his word. First of all, I'm not going to read this, so I'll give you a reference, but when it comes to health, the Bible says that he is our healer. It just says that he's our healer. So we talked about how God's word never changes. The fact that he's a healer never changes. You either believe that or you don't. I encourage us right now in this moment to believe it. You either believe it or you don't. What do you believe? What do you believe? Faith upon other than his word. Our faith is based on his word. Do you believe it or not? God is a healer. He's a healer. He's a healer yesterday. He's a healer today. He's a healer forever. Do you believe it or not? God is a healer. When it comes to health, he's the healer. How about when it comes to loneliness? The Bible says that he's the comforter and that he has given us each other. There's a cure for loneliness. It's the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that he's the advocate, which means he's the standby, which means he never goes away. Jesus, when he was talking about how he was about to leave the disciples, said, "Hey guys, I know you might be concerned about the fact that I'm leaving, but if I don't leave, then the Holy Spirit won't come. But if I do leave, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to be with you forever." The Spirit of Truth. Jesus, when he was here on the earth, could only be with people in the flesh. He could only stand right next to them and say things to them like that. But because Jesus is in heaven now and he sent us the Holy Spirit, now we have the Holy Spirit present with us at all times. And if you're a member of the family, he lives on the inside of you. That means you've got a constant comforter, a constant intercessor, a constant guide, a constant discernment giver, a constant wisdom provider right with you at all times. It's amazing. God says, Jesus said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." The other thing that the Lord has given us, and he says so in his word, if you look around, he's given us each other. One of the really relevant, tangible things that God has given us is members of the body of Christ. He's given us each other for a reason, because he knew that there were going to be trying times and that we would need each other. That's why he's put us together in the church. We need each other. We need each other in times like this. Okay? One of the application points that I'm going to share with us at the end of this message is, I might as well just say it now, but I want us to ask ourselves, what can we do during this season to somebody else that is in need, for somebody else that is in need? A lot of times we look inside for how my need's going to be met, but the Bible says, whatever you sow, you will reap. And so if you want somebody to be a friend during this season, I encourage you to go find somebody to be a friend for. If you have a need that needs to be met during this season, I encourage you to go find a need and meet it. One of our maxims in the outpost is let love finds a need and meets it. So I encourage you, this is one of my application points. This is one of my first challenges. What is something during this season that you can do for somebody else, a brother or a sister? If you have that posture and you look for somebody else's benefit first, God will make sure that your needs are taken care of. He just will. So when it comes to our health, he's our healer. When it comes to loneliness, man, he's our comforter, and he's given us each other. When it comes to living to please God, regardless of the circumstances or the environment that we may find ourselves in, his word is plain, and that is to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these other things will be given unto you. So the place that we go for certainty in uncertain seasons of our life is his word. If you look just to what other people say outside of his word, you're not going to find it there. If you look to the inside of yourself, you're probably not going to find it there. If you look to the news, you're not going to find it there. If you're going to look all of the other places, it's always going to come short. But there's one place that you can always look for truth that'll never change, and that is God's word. Can I get a witness? Yeah. So what has God said to you in his word? What has God said to you by his spirit, which will coincide with his word if it's truly the spirit? It shall come to pass. What has God said to you? And is standing on any promises? I encourage you, get a promise and stand on it. If you just allow doubt and fear and questions and anxiety to rule your thoughts, they're going to rule your thoughts. But if you replace those things with the solid word of God, you'll have something to stand on when questions come. If you're not standing on the word, you're standing on something else, and that other thing is shaky. Got to stand on the word of God. So find yourself a promise in God's word for you and for your circumstance, and by golly, stand on it. Because there's no way it's going to be shaken. There's no way it's going to fail. There's no way you're going to fall if you're standing on his word. It's a challenge, some of us Christians. It shall come to pass. His word shall come to pass. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12 says this: The Lord said to me, you have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. Isn't this amazing? The prophet Jeremiah was prophesying some things that God was going to do in that day and age. And God told him this reassurance: I, Jeremiah, am watching to see that the word that I spoke in your situation will be fulfilled. I am watching to see that your word is fulfilled, that my word is fulfilled. Isn't that amazing? In other words, I'm looking over your situation and I'm making sure that the word that you're standing on is going to come to pass. It's amazing. So why does this matter to us? Why does the fact that God's word never changes matter to us? Because we have real stability in life. It doesn't matter what's going on. We have real stability. In this, we have real stability. We are stable. I'm stable in the name of Jesus. I've got a wife and four kids, right? Think I've got some concerns about the health of my family? Yeah. This is exactly what my wife and I are doing for us. We're standing on the word of God, okay? Let me tell you some things, some audacious things that I'm believing for in the name of Jesus. Sarah and I believe that no plague shall come near our dwelling because it says that in the word of God. No plague shall come near my dwelling. I claim that promise as my own, and I stand on it in the name of Jesus. And guess what? If something happens and a plague comes into my dwelling and one of my family members gets sick, I have Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God, my healer, to take care of me. All those things are in the Bible. We have real stability when it comes to real issues in our life. God is wanting to come through for us in this time. Let's let him do that. Let's let him do that because he wants to. He's encouraging us tonight. Yeah. Next point. God's power never falters. God's power never falters. Let's look back to our example story. And we're going to look at Mark chapter 4, verse 39, back at the story that we read about Jesus calming the storm. The disciples woke him and said to him, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? And he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, Quiet, be still. And then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. The word, you guys, was written for our benefit, right? What we're supposed to do when we encounter situations in our life. This is real Christian living. This is real the real Christian walk. What we're supposed to do when we encounter situations in our life is go to the Bible and find out how people dealt with things at that time. Because it's an example written for us for our time. The Bible's timeless. His word is always true. Never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so what did they do when they were faced with a storm? Well, they called on Jesus, and Jesus' power never faltered. Did exactly what they needed it to do. Jesus can calm the storm. He's above every other name. Name some names. Jake, George Washington. How about the name of coronavirus? How about the name of cancer? Jesus' name is above every other name. At the name of Jesus, the Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The name of Jesus is above every other name. Guys, he's the creator. He's the master of the universe. We're here and we breathe because of him. The planet is here because of him. He knows exactly what to do in every situation, and he created all the physics, and he created all the antibodies, and he created everything. He's got supernatural power at his disposal 24/7. It's hard for me to get that one out. God is good, man. God is good. His power never falters. He is the name above every name. Name a name. Jesus' name is above that name. Do you believe it or not? You don't have to believe it. I encourage you to. I believe it. Guess what? That's why I have stability and peace and faith in the midst of the storm, because my belief is centered and grounded on the Word of God above anything else. This is what faith. So here's an example story. So Sarah and I, we have four kids. Like I said, we've got a six-year-old Bria. We have a five-year-old Addie. We have twins that are 2.5, and man, they're a handful. Elijah and Olivia. And when we got pregnant, first of all, we didn't know we had twins until 20 weeks. We were both in the ultrasound room, just, you know, planning on having another kid, you know, this is going to be great. And this is legitimately what the technician said. Hey, have you guys had an ultrasound yet? No. Well, I see two heads in here. And I was like, oh my gosh, no, two heads. I still had no idea that it was twins. That was my first thought. I think Sarah caught on to it before that. And so honestly, when I found out it was twins, I was a little relieved. I was like, oh my gosh, okay. Oh no, we have twins. The twins are great, man. Yeah, there's a twin. Yeah, twins are amazing, okay? So that was the beginning of our twin experience. Into our twin experience, we found out that our daughter, Olivia, we found out that she was not getting the nutrients that she needed, so she was smaller and she moved less than Elijah. We could just tell this in the womb. So we began to do ultrasounds. They were telling us that the correct amount of nutrients were not coming into Olivia and flowing out of her. So they're like, okay, so all these things may be happening. We're going to definitely deliver way earlier than you want to. And, you know, you have this option whether or not to check the amniotic fluid to see, you know, if there's disease going on or if she's going to be, you know, mentally okay and things like this. And, you know, we would recommend whatever. I'm not sure if they said they would recommend that, but that was certainly an option that they were pitching to us because of the situation. So first two pregnancies didn't have anything like that go on. Second pregnancy, we were like, okay, we're already shocked by the twins, and now one of our twins is not doing that well. And we would see images on the ultrasound of Olivia, and I remember one time they were trying to get her to hiccup as one of the things that they wanted a healthy fetus to do. And we just sat there for like half an hour, and we never saw a hiccup. And so things like that are concerning. At the end of the day, you know, we prayed about it. We actually never did that testing. We just foolishly, or maybe not foolishly, believed that the Lord would take care of it. And we did have to deliver 5 weeks early, but even though Olivia was not getting sure what's going to happen, we're not sure why, she's smaller than usual, we're not sure if she's going to develop properly, to this day, everything's great. She's developing great. The delivery was good. But that was a major situation in our lives, and I'll just tell you, we stood on the word of God that it was going to be okay. Rather than believing or worrying about what the worst that could possibly happen was, we took God's word and we decided that based on God's word, we had the right time. Based on the circumstances and everything that was going on, we decided to not focus on the negative and the worst that things could possibly be. And because we had the word of God, we decided that we had a right to believe that the best possible outcome could happen. And that is the same for us in the situations that we find ourselves in. Because of the word of God, you have a right to believe that the best possible outcome is going to happen. It's up to you what you decide to believe. But because of God's word, you have a right to believe the best. So God is more than a match for anything that could ever come our way. Okay? So in terms of health, both physical and mental, anything, God is more than a match for anything that's coming against us. God, in his great power, God's power never falters, can and will bring an end to the pandemic. What am I believing for an end to the pandemic? I'm believing God. You think God knows this is going on? Of course. Who do you think the solution is? It's God. It's God, man. It's his power that I'm counting on. You know, something so practical as making the project that you were assigned and not wondering and wondering how that's going to get done now, or the summer job situation that you now find yourself in, or things like that, really practical things like that. Guess which power that you can count on to handle those things. It's God's power that never falters. He's got the power for that situation. Somebody needed to hear that tonight. That job situation, or that project situation, or that class situation that now is who knows where, God's got the power to handle that. He wants you to know that. He wants you to know that. So how about this? You know, we'll move on to the next point after this. How about just the fact that I wish God would speak peace in my situation? That's what I need right now. If I need anything, I need peace. Well, we have his peace in heaven. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." So Jesus said that, and he said that to you. When we read the Bible, we need to read it as if it's God speaking to us. That's the way the Bible is supposed to be read. This is God's word to me right now. Peace I leave with you. My own peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. What does he mean by not as the world gives? How does the world give? The world gives by expecting to get something in return. The world gives by sometimes giving and sometimes not, sometimes. And the world gives with an expiration date. Jesus doesn't give in any of those ways. He gives freely, he gives completely, and he gives in every situation at all times as long as you need it for. He is your peace. The Bible calls him the Prince of Peace. Jesus, one of his titles in heaven is Prince of Peace. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being the Prince of Peace, for being my Prince of Peace. Thank you for ruling over us so well. And I thank you that you rule over us in peace in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You are the Prince of Peace. So he has given us his peace. I want to address this for sure. Okay, what if there was a situation in my life that he didn't come through for me? What if his power didn't come through for me? Now, there's so many different possible variables, but we need to address it at least a little bit. And for today's purposes, I'm just going to say this? I don't know. A couple other things. It's not, I don't. But I do know that mistakes are here. I know that sin is here. I know the enemy is here. You know, it's not just us and God. There's actually an enemy of our lives that's working and trying to disrupt things and trying to do bad things for you. He doesn't like you because you're made in the image of God. You're made in the image of God. God loves you. He sent his son to die for you so that he could live with you forever. He didn't have to do that, but he did, which tells us how much he loves us. But we have an enemy that knows those things and doesn't like us so that he can disrupt things at times. I know those things. And I also know, even though it's hard, ultimately, if we have a relationship with God, then we never leave him, even in death. If we have a relationship with God. Response to times when things don't work out like that we think they should. Let me tell you what the Christian response is. It's not argument and it's not trying to explain things. The Christian response is compassion. Christian response is compassion. Jesus' response was compassion. Just some thoughts there. So in terms of God's power, in terms of our circumstance, I want to ask us this question. Are we going to be a thermometer or a thermostat? Are we going to be a thermometer or a thermostat? A thermostat tells you what temperature it is. A thermometer sets the temperature. I thought I said that right. Thank you for catching me. Somebody shout it out the way that it's supposed to be. That's what I meant. Thank you, Aaron. Thank you. Aaron, dude, you're up next week, bro. Yeah. A thermometer tells you what temperature it is. The thermostat sets the temperature. Very good. Thank you. Thank you for your grace. Which one are we going to be? Are we going to be a thermostat or are we going to be a thermometer? Are we going to set the temperature around us or are we going to just be a representative of what everybody else is doing? I think we have that choice to make. And with Jesus, and only with Jesus, because his word never fails and never changes, can we set the temperature? Because he is the one that sets the temperature. If we allow our life to reflect what the temperature is around us, then we're basically just a case in which that could go the other way is when you're around a bunch of people that love Jesus and are filled with faith, then you can let them set your temperature, which is a good thing. Cool. Let's keep going. Last point. God's plans never fail. God's plans never fail. So after college, I went to Bible college because I wanted more college. And then after Bible college, I became a door-to-door salesman. Talk about successful. So I lived in the Chicago suburbs, and I sold pest control door-to-door. I worked for Orkin Pest Control. I did that for 2 years. I mean, not even one. I did that for 2 years. It was 100% commission. Anyway, that's beside the point. So I had this season in my life where I worked pest control in Illinois for 2 years. I lived in my parents' basement, and then I went into ministry. There's a joke in there someplace about going into ministry. But during that period of time, from pest control to my parents' basement to ministry, which is what I've done for the past 12 years, I met my wife. And that period of time was only 9 months. So from the period of time between, like I said, working pest control, living in my parents' basement, to moving to Kentucky, from Illinois to Iowa to Kentucky, was 9 months. And during that period of time, I met the love of my life and the mother of my children and somebody that's amazing. The best gift other than salvation that I've ever received. Here's the reason that I share that. I think that was God's plan. Sarah makes me a better person. I think that was God's plan. I was not counting on that plan. That was not in my plan to do that. Right? So God somehow worked within my decisions and within the timing to not only get me from a place where I was on 100% commission to a place where, you know, I was being provided for through ministry, but also give me a wife. It's amazing. God's plan, obviously I wanted a wife. God's plans never fail. God's plans never fail. Sometimes ours do and can and will, but God's plans never fail. So to close out our message, we're going to talk about God's plans for Jesus, and we're going to look at that. So going back to our story, how Jesus said, hey, guys, we're going to go to the other side. The storm came. He calmed the storm. They made it to the other side, and he proceeded to do ministry. We see a couple things. One is that they made it to the other side, and he proceeded to do what he was called to do. He was called to preach the gospel to the poor, and he continued to do that regardless of the circumstances. Didn't matter what sprung up in the meantime. God's word came to pass, and his plan for Jesus was able to be fulfilled. Guys, this was a storm that had all of the fishermen that were Jesus' disciples afraid for their lives. These guys were in boats every day of their life. That was that kind of a storm. So it was a legit storm that could have killed them all. And that's the kind of circumstance that we see Jesus said, peace be still to. But this is God's plans for Jesus were fulfilled. God's plans for your life will be fulfilled if you'll just allow him to fulfill them. God's plans for Jesus were fulfilled. God's plans for your life will be fulfilled no matter what happens in between if you will allow him to fulfill them. Not only this, not only did Jesus make it to the other side of the lake, but Jesus fulfilled God's ultimate plan for his life, which was to die for the sins of humanity and to raise to life again. If he had gone down in a storm, that couldn't have happened. Couldn't have happened. If you would go down in this storm, God's plans for your life won't be fulfilled. But by golly, you're going to make it through the storm in the name of Jesus. It's going to be good. If you stick with the Lord, you're going to make it through. The only possible way that you won't make it through the current storm is to not stick with Jesus. And you still might make it through because of his grace and mercy for you. That's the only way that you won't make it through. You definitely are going to make it through in the name of Jesus if you stick with him. He loves you so much. He's got a plan for your life. Okay, so here's my last three points. Band, why don't you guys make your way up here? These are sub-points. Don't get afraid. Jesus' plan for your life includes walking closely with God. Okay, so we're talking about how his plans never fail. What are his plans for my life? One of his plans for your life is that you walk closely with him. John chapter 17, verse 3 says the following. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. At first blush, I think we miss some of the power of this verse. To know in the Greek is the Greek word that is shown up there, and it means to know intimately. This is eternal life, that they know God intimately. This is one of God's plans for your life. Regardless of any of the other personal specific plans that he's got for you, one of the greatest plans that he has for your life is that you know the Lord intimately. Do you know the Lord intimately tonight? Are you looking for other things and other plans and other dreams and other desires apart from him? If you are, you're not shooting high enough. One of his plans is for you to know the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Maker of all, intimately. Here's another plan for your life, and that plan includes being in community. God doesn't want you to be a hermit. It's not in your best interest. Galatians chapter 6:2 says the following: carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. You got to be with people in order to carry their burdens. You got to be with people in order for them to carry yours. God's plan for your life is to walk with brothers and sisters that legitimately and actually love you. God's plan for your life is to walk with brothers and sisters that legitimately and actually would put your needs above their own. Yes, 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 there are people like that. Took me a while to meet some of them, but I have met some of them, and I can't believe it. These people exist. Some of them are sitting near you, maybe right next to you. God's plan for your life is to live in community. And the third plan for your life that I know for sure beyond the shadow of a doubt, because it comes from the Word, is that God's plan for your life includes leading other people to have the first two things: knowing God, having community. Sometimes we say God's plan for your life is to make disciples. You can say it like that, or you can just say it: God's plan for your life is to lead other people into a knowledge of Him and into community. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 19 says this: therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us, who's us, all of us, the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. What is the message of reconciliation? That God wants to make His relationship with you right again. That's what the message of reconciliation is. The Bible says if you're in Christ, you've become a new creation, and He's given you the message of reconciliation. What is that message? If you have a good relationship with God and you love Him, wouldn't you want to tell other people? That's what the message of reconciliation is. That's one of the plans that God has for our life. So in review of the plans that God has for us, He plans for us to walk closely with Him, He plans for us to be in community, and He plans for us to make disciples. I may not know a whole lot of other things, but I know for 100% that God wants those things for us. Are those the things that we're thinking about, or are we thinking about? Put first things first. If we will come into agreement with His plan, He will make a way for us wherever we find ourselves. Now, it's true that God does have a personal plan for your life, but it will always come within His plan, okay? He's got a specific job for you to do. Of course He does. Maybe you know what that is. Maybe He's been speaking to you about that, but let me tell you something. It's always going to come within those first things that I said. To know Him intimately, to walk in community, and to lead other people to have those two things, right? So despite the circumstances, despite what goes on, despite the season, despite the difficulty, despite the challenge, we know what His plan is for us. I've just said it. It's amazing. We have stability. We have peace. We have comfort. My question to you is, are you thinking about those things right now? Or are you thinking about the things that you can't control? We can control how close we are to the Lord. Bible says, draw near to Me and I will draw near unto you. If you seek Me, you will find Me. If you search for Me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. It's amazing. Your proximity to God is dependent upon you. Man, God is waiting, arms wide open, loves you. That's why He's talking to you tonight. He wants you to know He loves you, that He's there for you, that He's got a plan for your life, that the storm that you may be going through right now is not going to affect or alter forever the plan that He has for you. His plans are going to come to pass. His plan for your life is going to come to pass in the name of Jesus. It's going to come to pass if you walk with Him. And like I said, even if you choose not to, He probably will still allow an opportunity for that plan to come to pass just because of His grace and His mercy. He loves you that much. So let's draw near to Him. Okay, in review. Yeah, God's word never changes. His power never fails. And His plans never fail. His word, His power, His plans, these are the things that we have. And so I want us to conclude, and I want to apply this tonight. So the first thing that I thought of is this. trying to make decisions and resist fear and temptation and focus on positive things are nearly impossible unless Jesus is first in our lives. It's just not possible. It becomes possible when Jesus is first. Okay? So the first thing that I'm going to challenge you with is to make him first. So right where you're at right now, why don't you have a moment with the Lord? Why don't you close your eyes? I encourage you. I challenge you, man. The Lord, he doesn't even challenge you. The Lord simply wants you to give in to his love, plan. He just wants you to let go of what you're trying to control, and he just wants you to trust him that he's going to take care of all of it. You legitimately don't have to know what to do. I'm just going to speak that to you and over you. You don't have to know what to do. Because God does know what to do, and he loves you. And he's not withholding that from you. He loves you. It's yours for the taking. Just come to him. Desire him. Make him first, guys. Use this opportunity. Make him first. Make him first. Second thing that I want us to do while you're still in an attitude of prayer with your eyes closed, if you desire to do that, is I want you to ask yourself, I want you to think about a need that you may know that somebody else has that you can meet. Yeah, I want you to see who you can act in compassion towards. Ask God, who is somebody that has a need that I can meet during this season? I don't want to think about just myself and the things that I'm going through. I want to help somebody else because I know that you're going to help me also. So I want you to ask that.